Hello there, Peterman here. And this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine the Roach. Our number here is 508-222-1320. I hope that you are having a great day on this chilly Saturday morning. I know that Jim Corbin will be calling in at 7:35 today to give us a weather hit and talk to us about the meteor shower that's out and about. I did want to mention to you before I introduce my very special guest today that I did talk to you last week about going to a show at Foxwoods. It was Mariah Carey. So I had a comp ticket to go there, and I was all excited and went down there. They gave us a VIP dinner at Shrine, the nightclub there, which was pretty cool. And then we all went over to see Mariah Carey perform. Now, I have to say that I'm a value shopper, so I paid last year $100 to see Bruce Springsteen at Gillette Stadium. He played for 4.5 hours, and it was such a kick-ass show. It was amazing. I mean, high energy. It was just really phenomenal. Everybody was on their feet, and it was a great show. This ticket that I had was a comp ticket, $250, so I thought, wow, this is going to be really an awesome show. I'm very disappointed at Mariah Carey, and I've been on social media saying this, because the backup singers were more into the songs than she was, actually. What I understand is she only played for 1 hour and 10 minutes and then walked off the stage. The venue that I went to afterwards, she was supposed to make an appearance and didn't show. So I would never pay to see this woman again. But the 5-octave range, which I was hoping to experience, it just never happened. And I felt bad, but she seemed very disengaged to the audience. And these are the people, these are your fans. So I would think that you'd be more engaged in conversation with the audience, like Bruce Springsteen. We knew about his first songs. You know, he's sitting out there looking out his window and, looking at what was going on around him, and wrote about what was going on in New Jersey. I mean, he really made it personable. This woman here was just walking up and down the stage, and she was just calling it in, as I call it. So I was kind of disappointed in a way. I did want to mention that we did pre-record a show that's going to be playing on November 4th, and that was with Susan Source, who is running the Rhode Island Comic Con. There's going to be 127 guests, and at the start of the show, you might have heard John O'Hurley, who was Jay Peterman on Seinfeld. He's also going to be there amongst Christopher Lloyd, Judd Reinhold. They've got William Shatner. They've got a whole bunch of people that are going to be coming, and we'll be promoting that as the weeks progress. But I do want to mention, in studio today, I'm very happy and very privileged to have Steve Palumbo here, because he got up so early. He was one of my very first guests, and he wins the award for getting here at the studio the earliest.
All right.
So thank you very much for coming on today.
Thanks for inviting me. Congratulations to me, I guess.
Yes, and you have your coffee, which is a standard here on the Out and About show. If you have a question for our guests, our number here is 508-222-1320. So, Steve, I have to ask our very first question. Why did you start this new career path? Because you were a teacher before, correct?
That's right. So I was a Providence public school teacher for 24 years.
Wow.
14 of which I was a special ed teacher, which I loved. It was a great experience. I'm grateful for the whole experience of helping shape kids' minds and, you know, watching them grow and make these leaps and bounds, so to speak, in their learning and in their personal development. I've also been a professional entertainer for 24 years. So there's always been this sort of tug of war between pursuing the arts full-time and teaching full-time. And I've always had this battle in my heart and in my soul, and I've always wanted to pursue singing as a full-time career, but it was never a realistic type of endeavor because of, I mean, let's face it, the realities of life, health benefits and retirement and pension. And as you get older and these things become closer and closer and more of a reality, you tend to sort of shy away from the dream. You know, but with life changes and personal experiences, et cetera, and you realize the finite nature of life itself, when you have something that God has given you and said, you're going to have this ability, I really had to, I woke up one day and said, I really have to give it some attention, mm-hmm. which is why I made the decision to go full-time as an entertainer.
Wow. Now, when did you make the decision?
I've been chewing on it for quite a while. You know, I've been tossing the idea around for years, but it hasn't been up until, I'd say, within the past 8 or 9 months when I really gave it some serious thought and said, I think I can do this. I think I want to do this, and I think I can do this, and now I'm going to do this. It's kind of like this gradual mm-hmm. buildup of confidence and decision-making.
Right. I mean, I was going to ask you, how did you get started? But you said that you had done this for 24 years. I didn't know that.
Professionally, correct.
Wow.
I started when I was 21, and that's a really interesting story. But I opened my mouth to actually sing my first notes when I was 10. My mom and I joined our church choir at the time when I was 10 years old and just decided to do something different because she would sing in church, and I would follow her lead. So I can trace my singing back to her, I guess. But when I was 21, I came out of college and said, okay, I'm going to pursue singing in a professional vein. So there were auditions around town and a couple of opportunities that I auditioned for but didn't make. And at the time, I was so disappointed. In retrospect, I think to myself, man, I'm so glad that that didn't work out because of what did work out. It opened up the opportunities that I eventually took on and became my professional career. So from when I was 21, so those are, you know, people out there who are doing the math, at 46 now, it's been an incredible, incredible journey. This, I mean, I could write a book. A lot of us who are in the industry locally could write some pretty interesting books, you know, but to answer your question, it's been 24 years seems like a long time when you stop and think about it, but it seems like just yesterday when I started. I'm so grateful for everything, every single day and every single experience, good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You mean you've had some bad experiences? I can't believe that.
As I live and breathe.
What I wanted to say is that I had seen you perform. I had met you first at the Red Rock Grill or something in North Attleboro.
Yes, it was a dinner show.
It was a dinner show, and that was to raise money for a cause. I don't remember what it was because it's been almost a year that we've done it. But I was with George Leonard, who's Georgie Porgy of the Crybabies.
Yes, of course.
And they know you and Mike Dutra.
Mike Dutra, yes.
And at the end of the show, we got a chance.
Correct.
I actually got a chance to meet you.
We love Georgie.
Oh,
we were so
yeah.
grateful you guys came to our show. That was really cool.
That was cool,
Thank
wasn't
you.
It?
Yeah.
He asked me to go. I said, what are you guys doing? And he said, well, we're going to go and check out the show, and it's the Rat Pack. And I said, what's the Rat Pack? And I said, because I remember, like, when you say Rat Pack, I think Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and,
right.
Sammy Davis Jr.
I tried to whisper it to
oh
you.
Oh, my God, yes, I'm sorry, yeah. Oh, my God. So I noticed that in the show that you sing a lot of Dean Martin songs.
Yes.
Now, is that on purpose? Do you, how did you think, all right, I'm going to pick something. Like, how did this whole thing create, how did this create this whole gig for you of Dean Martin songs and other songs, because you do Andrea Bocelli beautifully.
Correct.
Oh,
Thank
my
you.
God. Thank I love, you. I have that that CD in my car. But,
that's incredible.
But how did you decide, like you said that you had started 24 years ago.
Right.
So what kind of songs did you sing back then to now? Or have you always sung Dean Martin songs?
It's a great question.
Thank you.
When I started my professional career, I got hired by a Motown quartet called Twice. And my dear friend, my dear late friend, Manny Barros, who was leader of that quartet, was the one who gave me my shot. And he's the one who auditioned me. It was a Motown quartet, so the majority of our repertoire was Motown and R&B. So it was Temptations, Four Tops, Stevie Wonder, The Spinners, Barry White, Teddy Pendergrass, you name it, a lot of soul music. And that's where I sort of strengthened my chops as a lead vocalist, as someone who could harmonize in a four, you know, four-voice quartet. What I would do, though, is in the earlier parts of any night, any given night, say in a club or a restaurant or a private event, you want the first hour or so to be relatively mellow and kind of, you know, ease people into what you're going to do. So it gave me an opportunity to introduce the Sinatra stuff, the Dean Martin stuff, Tony Bennett, and, you know, one or two tunes in an hour kind of thing. And then, having been with the Motown group for 7 years, when I decided to leave, that's when I wanted to get into more loungy stuff. Bless you.
Thank you.
Get into more loungy stuff and dedicate more attention and focus to the American Songbook.
Oh.
So I was singing in De Pasquale Plaza on Federal Hill.
Right.
At the time. I mean, we're talking 15 years ago, roughly. And there was only one Dean Martin tune that I did. I did a lot of Tony Bennett, a lot of Sinatra, Harry Connick Jr., Bobby Darin, etc. And I did one Dean Martin tune, which was Memories Are Made of This.
Mm.
And to this day, it remains my favorite and most sound-alike Dean Martin tune that I do. So a friend of mine who was helping to book me and helping me to sort of cultivate my solo act, my dear friend Ron Campagnone, who started the group Tribeca, said, when you do Dean Martin, he goes, why not hold a cigarette and hold a cocktail and just pretend to be Dean Martin, because you kind of sound like Dean Martin. So over time, Memories Are Made of This has been the song that to me signifies like my true tribute, if you will, mm-hmm. and my true impersonation of Dean Martin. And so that's how the lounge and American Songbook stuff kind of evolved for me.
Wow.
You know, but I've always been exposed to all kinds of different music. In my home, when I was growing up, Mom and Dad, you know, played so much, such a diverse repertoire of music, and it just became part of like my own fabric, and I just took everything that I've heard and listened to, and I guess we all formulate our own tastes
mm-hmm.
from what we hear, you know, and that's
right.
kind of how Dean Martin evolved, and then over time, I kept increasing my Dean Martin songbook, and then I crossed paths with the legendary Michael Dutra, who is like the you know, iconic Sinatra voice.
Oh my goodness!
You know,
yes.
In the country,
right.
And he decided to take me on as his Dean Martin guy.
Wow!
And here we are. You know, it's really a really cool experience, and I'm grateful for that as well.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Wow! You were just describing that you had just finished a gig with Mike last evening, way up in Burlington. So mm-hmm. it keeps you on the road. I was noticing also. That you just finished a gig in Pennsylvania.
Correct.
So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, I'd love to. This is our third year performing in a little town in Pennsylvania called Jim Thorpe. Jim Thorpe / Lehighton. And it's about 5.5 hours south of us, and we drive. It's a little bit of a long drive. The first year we did it, we left Rhode Island about midnight and got there in the wee hours of the morning. And what we do is we perform in this gigantic venue. It holds about 1,000 people.
Wow.
And they bus, you know, these folks in who love the Rat Pack music, and they serve them lunch. Then we come on, we do a 90-minute show. We break it up into two, you know, equal shows.
Right.
We come with you know, the 10-piece orchestra, and it's Frank Sinatra, me as Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., a gentleman by the name of Mark Verselli, comes up from Orlando, and it's been such a success where they've had us come back, you know, 3 years in a row, which is pretty incredible. So we jive 5.5 hours back. They put us up in a hotel, and you really feel like that, you know, somewhat rock star status.
Sure.
You know, as Frank, Sammy, and Dean. And it sounds really cool, and it is, and it's fun, and it's exciting. But at the end of the day, we really don't take ourselves very seriously, as a lot of people do. But, yeah.
That's great. I do have to hold you, though. Thank you.
All right.
Hold on one sec. You are listening to Out and About with Elaine. We do have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Steve Palumbo after these messages.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in Far Bombay.
Wheaton College will present Graft, an exhibition of the works of Providence-based artist Helene Battalion from September 5th to October 21st in the Beard Gallery. Battalion, who is trained in fashion design and painting, creates a site-specific installation that explores the boundaries between garment and sculpture, between form and function, and between the beautiful and the grotesque. For more information about the exhibit, including gallery hours, you can email arts@wheatoncollege.edu.
For over 46 years, Amigo Incorporated, located at 33 Perry Avenue in Attleboro, has been offering services and programs for children and adults with autism spectrum disorders and other disabilities. Amigo has been committed to building vital relationships with their expanding community on the local level. From day programs to transitional planning, Amigo provides a continuum of services and support for all ages. For more information, you can view their website at amigoinc.org.
Of course my kid's in the right car seat. Well, I think he is.
Yeah, my kid's in a booster seat. He was ready to move up. He is ready, right?
Her car seat looks like the right size.
There are probably rules on when to move up to a booster seat, aren't there?
Rear facing, forward facing? I think I have it right.
Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Are your children in the right car seat for their age and size? Don't think you know. Know you know. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat.
I know my child's in the right car seat, or else I wouldn't get in the driver's seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hello there, Peterman here, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Take one fresh and tender kiss.
The memories you gave of me.
Add one stolen night of bliss.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
One girl, one boy, some grief, some joy.
Good morning, everyone. Wow, that is Dean Martin. But in studio, I have Steve Palumbo, who can sing that song just so super fine. It's unbelievable. Listen, I do have a question. You've been performing for 24 years, and you made this switch over to doing this full time, which is phenomenal. And I think that you should. You are going for it, and I admire that. That's really
Thank
great.
You. Thank
but
you.
What has been some of the challenges, would you say, as far as the, you know, like, I can't imagine, okay, you didn't really transition from a school teacher to singing, because you've always done it in tandem. So now that you're out there, and you're out and about, and you're going to go pursue this wonderful career full time, like, what are some of the things that you're thinking, like, is it a challenge, would you say?
I would think the biggest challenge is the uncertainty of work.
Really?
Yeah, because whereas with a 9-to-5 or a teaching job, you have that guarantee. You know, you wake up in the morning, you know that you have a place to go, you have a building you're gonna walk into, you have a job to execute, and you have that consistency and that security.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with, you know, the full-time entertaining gig, it's very uncertain, and it's pretty much up to you to pound the pavement and knock on doors and get those jobs and attract gigs and network and really put your best foot forward in terms of, you know, just meeting people and putting your best foot forward and selling yourself. You have to become a salesman. Whereas teaching full time, I had the luxury of having that safety blanket, you know, that safety net, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And the jobs that I got to sing were kind of icing on top of the cake. Now I have to, I'm making my cake from scratch,
right?
You know, and
right.
And it's a labor of love. The challenge, the uncertainty of it, I embrace it all, because as much as I enjoyed my day job and I love and miss, you know, the kids who I taught and worked with every day, I really enjoy the freedom that I've allowed myself now, because it's a huge burden off of my shoulders, because I've sort of divorced myself from the paperwork and from, you know, that workload and that whole mental kind of obligation.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm freed up to think creatively and to think about how I'm going to sell myself and who I'm going to go talk to, where I would like to place myself, where I want to travel to, you know, who I want to work with, songs I want to do, I can learn more songs, and just to free myself up it has been a wonderful bonus to this decision, mm-hmm. if you will.
Yeah, no, I get that.
It's great.
Yeah, it is great because you're actually, you really are guiding your destiny and figuring out where you want to go and what you want to do. And that brings me to my next question about some of the things that that you want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Now that you're free to do whatever you want to do and go wherever you want to go,
right.
Where are some of the places that you would like to travel or play, venues that you'd like to play?
Sure. I've always wanted to perform in Aruba. Always. I went to Aruba when I was about 24,
uh-huh.
fell in love with it, and I think I went back one time after that. But I've always wanted to go sing in exotic places. I've always wanted to have a suntan in the wintertime. You know, I see wealthy people who come back from vacations that they're away in January, February, and I'm like, wait a minute, is it July or is it January? You know, but I've always wanted to go to exotic and interesting vacation places,
mm-hmm.
To kind of kill two birds with one stone. You know, be someplace that's a vacation destination and provide my entertainment in different venues there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. I've wanted to do more cruise ship work.
You've done cruise ships?
I've done cruise ships, yes, with Michael Dutra. We've done...
Oh, you have?
Yeah. Yep. We did about five cruise ships. We did two in the Caribbean. In fact, the first cruise ship we did was a Costa cruise ship, Costa Atlantica. And interestingly, the captain of that ship was the same captain who years later ran his ship aground off the coast of Italy.
Oh,
we're
wow.
the same capitan. Wow. Thank God he waited to do that until we disembarked.
Yes.
We did Holland America in the Caribbean, and then we did three trips to Bermuda from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And we did they were all Frank and Dean cruises.
No
which
kidding.
Were pretty cool. Yeah, yeah. It was really interesting. So I'd love to do more of that. You know, be what's known as a fly-on act, where they fly the act on, as opposed to the lounge acts, which are great and I respect and love them as well. Those acts work seven nights a week, roughly. Whereas a fly-on act gets flown into a given port of call. Let's say your ship is in Puerto Rico and it's going from Puerto Rico from St. Lucia. They would fly the fly-on act into the port of Puerto Rico, and you would do your act maybe that night and the night after, and then the next, the third day, they'd fly you to the next port or fly you home. And it's a lot more money.
Is
so
it?
It's a lot more lucrative to be a fly-on act, you know,
yes.
something of that nature. Yeah.
Right. Now, with winter coming, will you be doing something like that again soon?
Cruise ships?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Not yet?
No, because there are several things before that I'm trying to knock out. You know, just trying to wrap up, you know, more local gigs, especially with the holidays coming up.
Right.
You know, corporate events are rolling in and club gigs, et cetera.
Right.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about the people. We were talking about the Rat Pack and Sammy Davis. I'm going to say that first because I know. And Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra.
Sure.
We all know that they were, you know, they had that gig out in Vegas and everything, and they were very famous, and they were awesome. Now, with Mike and you and the other gentlemen forming, describe how that varies or changes or the same as that experience. When somebody goes sees the Rat Packs, what are their expectations? Like, what are they going to see?
Sure. When people come see our Rat Pack show, a lot of them, they know their stuff. Like, they know Rat Pack history. They know, and a lot of them have their own respective favorites,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, there are those who love Sinatra who weren't as crazy about Dean Martin and vice versa, and those who love Sammy Davis. What they come to expect is just a very, very entertaining, very high energy, always funny. It's almost like every turn we make, every word we say, every line that we share, not that it has to be funny, but it just comes off naturally funny.
It does.
Because those guys were so devil may care, you know, and flew by the seat of their pants and had so much fun. You know, people in the audience wanted to hang with these guys. They wanted to go drinking with them. You know, you couldn't because you weren't part of that tight-knit
right.
circle.
Right.
But it was just such wonderful escapism. And as entertainers, providing the Rat Pack songbook as a soloist, providing, you know, the repertoire that I cover, mm-hmm. that's what we're trying to deliver, is escapism. So for that 90 minutes of the show that we're delivering, we want to take people away from what they know is to be reality. That suspension of disbelief, I want that to be like a requirement when you walk in the door. Like, forget what you know when you come see our show, because we're going to take you away from everything you know.
Mm. And you do, and it's great because the show is very entertaining and high energy, and it is funny. I mean, you have some really great... But tell me about, how did Andrea Bocelli happen to stop by your act?
Okay. Well, it's interesting. To go back many, many years, when I was studying voice, back when I was 11, 12, I sang in a boys choir. I auditioned for this group called the Barrington Boys Choir, and it was based out of Providence. It was modeled after the Vienna Boys Choir, and there had to be about 30 boys, all between the ages of, I think, 11 and 13 was the cutoff. And we studied and performed a lot of opera, a lot of German compositions, Latin, etc.
Wow.
And then as I studied voice further and took lessons, I studied opera, you know, for the sheer fundamentals of it, the proper mm-hmm. breathing and phrasing, etc. So I've always had that as a foundation. And then, I mean, what music lover doesn't love Andrea Bocelli, you know? So what happened was, I heard that track, and I heard his solo, and then I heard his track as a duet with Sarah Brightman. Mm. And I thought to myself, I wonder how we could incorporate this into our act. So I got a wig. That's kind of a salt and pepper wig to you know, mimic his hairdo, and a pair of sunglasses and a white tux jacket and a black scarf. And I said, you know what, let's incorporate this and kind of make it a gag where I walk out in character and I'm escorted,
right,
as if I'm blind. And no offense to people who are visually impaired, it's not a disrespect, it's more of an homage to Andrea and an homage to the humor of the Rat Pack, and an unexpected kind of thing. So it goes from a humorous gag to the serious part where, oh my gosh, this guy's actually singing an operatic number.
Yes.
And then it goes back to being sort of a humorous gag, to reincorporate and go back to the Rat Pack type deal. So all that is just us trying to add to the variety and the mm-hmm. colors of our show. As opposed to keeping it just Frank, Sammy, and Dean, let's incorporate something totally different that no one else is doing, at least not in that vein.
Right.
You know, make it really fun and interesting and cool.
Oh man, it is cool.
So that's how Andrea came by, and Andrea is evolving.
Is he?
Andrea is evolving. Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you got
more songs, do you think?
I'm there with Christmas time coming. There may be at least one more edition of an Andrea Bocelli cover.
Really?
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Very good. That's wonderful. Exciting. I can't wait. This is wonderful. I do have to hold you there because we have to take another break.
No problem.
Great. I know our time is going to go by so fast.
It's loving it.
Me too. Listen, folks, you are listening to Out and About with Elaine. On our flip side of the break, you're going to listen to Jim Corbin, and he's going to give us the latest and greatest. Sunny weather, 80 degrees. No, I doubt it. But anyway, you're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we'll be right back after these messages.
There's a place called Kokomo. That's where
the Beard Gallery at Wheaton College will exhibit Drawn Threads from September 5th to October 21st. The six artists in the exhibition rely on thread as both inspiration and a drawing tool, creating works that span sculpture, installation, photography, and painting. The artists in the exhibition are Jay Carpenter, Marjorie Forte, Leslie Schomp, Jody Stevens, Antoinette Winters, and Melissa Zexter. For more information about the exhibit, including gallery hours, you can email arts@wheatoncollege.edu.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners. Are you looking for more opportunity? The Literacy Center is here to help. We have free year-round classes in English, computer literacy, and high school equivalency. With the help of teachers and tutors, you can prepare for your citizenship test, make a resume, get ready for college, or learn how to speak better English. Classes held during the day, evening, or on Saturdays. View our website, theliteracycenter.com, or call 508-226-3603. The Literacy Center, building a better community.
Hello there, Peterman here, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Okay, guys, we have Steve Palumbo on, and we're going to ask him one more question before Jim Corbin calls in. But I do have to ask you, what's the best part of your show? What do you like to do? What's the best part? Is it the beginning, middle, or end? Is it after show? Describe like what happens with when you're performing. Yes.
My solo show.
Your solo show.
My favorite part of my solo show, I would say, is the beginning.
Really?
If I had to put my finger on it, it's the beginning. Because of the fact that I prefer to come in very subtle, right? And mm-hmm. and it's might sound kind of odd that I like the beginning as my favorite and the subtlety of it. But the reason why I say that is not everyone sitting before me in a restaurant or, you know, a private venue is familiar with what it is that I do or what I sound like. Therefore, I want to come in subtle. And I always use the analogy of a waiter. I consider myself an entertainer servant. I'm serving you music and entertainment, right? So the way a waiter comes and presents the specials and takes your drink order and your appetizer, they start you off easy, right? So what I'm doing is I'm trying to gain your trust, especially people who have never heard me before. I'm trying to gain your trust by coming in easy, right? Mm-hmm. Something mellow, but mm-hmm. still powerful enough to kind of get your attention. I'm not one who has to be the center of attention, because in a venue, an event, private event, restaurant, my focus is respecting your experience. And if I can enhance your experience, then I've done my job.
Wow.
I'm not there for you to sit there as a captive listener, oh my gosh, and let your food get cold or let your ice melt in your cocktail. I want to enhance your experience so that you'll remember me and say, I remember this guy from last time. He's really entertaining. I didn't have to yell at my neighbor to have a conversation. You know, he made it a great experience. So that's why coming in subtle, getting their trust, and then I can build and go from there.
Right.
And kind of, you know, have them be sort of on my side. And now, like, all of a sudden, we're partners, for want of a better term. It's a cool kind of building experience. I love that part.
Now, did you have to learn those techniques, or over time, you just thought about, well, this is my approach to the music?
Over time, I've learned that through experience. You know, interacting with people, just the way I live my life. And I tell every single audience that I'm singing in front of how grateful I am that they took the time to come hear me sing. Because without them, it's an old adage, without them, I wouldn't have a show.
Right.
You know, so I come into my performances with an attitude of gratitude, if you will.
I love that.
You know, and I wake up every morning and just begin to list things that I'm thankful for. From you know, you name the as trivial as it may sound, to the most, you know, in-depth kind of reference. Mm-hmm. But that's my thing, is respecting the audience for taking the time to be, you know, there.
Right.
They could be anywhere else in the world or in a state or wherever, and they're there, and I'm grateful, and I'm going to show them how grateful I am and how much I respect that fact with subtlety, you know, and ease them into kind of like the experience.
Beautifully said.
Thank you.
Also, we have Jim Corbin, who is also a beautifully said gentleman, who's going to tell me it's going to be 80 degrees and sunny this week, right?
Well, we're going to come close, Elaine, and nice conversation you've been having this morning. The situation is that we are under a quite unusual weather pattern, I think you'd agree, for this late in the season. I mean, we're only 9 days away from November right now, or 10 days away. Halloween is in 10 days, and here we are still talking about temperatures well into the 70s. The only thing we've had that is noticeable over the last several days, really, the rather cool mornings, and that's because now the length of night is more than 13 hours. So you can have a warm day like we're going to get today, and yet again, it will cool down tonight. So no more worries about turning on air conditioning, at least for most. So that's the good news. We're going to reach about 75 today. So I can't make 80 for you, Elaine, but 75, I think, is about what we'll see. Say around 2, 2.30 this afternoon, there'll be, once again, hardly a cloud in the sky. And that's why we've been talking the last day or two about the Orion and meteors. Oftentimes, when we have these meteor showers throughout the year, there are several of them, it's either too bright with a full moon to see a lot of them, or it's cloudy, obviously. Well, we have not had any moon to worry about, and the nights have been nice and clear. So yet again, if you look high in the southeast to east sky overnight. Now, the reason that we talk about this with meteor showers when it's best to see them from midnight on is because the rotation of the Earth after midnight is going into the what we call swarm of space debris. So when you see a shooting star or a meteor, technically, it's not really aiming at the Earth. It's the Earth running into it. So you see more of them when the Earth is spinning after midnight into that direction. So if you look high up into the southeast to east sky tonight, with the clear skies yet again, obviously, if you're maybe having trouble sleeping or something, you might want to check that out. It's going to fall back to about 50 tomorrow morning, not quite as cool as this morning. And then more of the same tomorrow. So for more of the outdoor activities, temperatures will be once again in the mid, maybe getting closer to 80 briefly tomorrow, Elaine, probably staying just shy of it. And then as we go into Monday, one more day of this beautiful outdoor weather. Now, there'll be a little more in the way of clouds mixed with sun on Monday, but staying dry still, and high temperatures probably in the low 70s, wind will be more out of the south, coming in off the somewhat cooler waters. Now, finally, and I say finally, not that for some this is a good thing, but we are going to get into a wetter weather pattern beginning Tuesday of next week, so 3 days from today, and continuing into Wednesday, and then still some lingering scattered showers on Thursday, and it will turn cooler, but still only back to about where we should be. Keep in mind, over the next several days, our average high at this time of the year is in the upper 50s. So if we get back to that, which I think we will, that's just getting back to where we should be for this time of the year. And then we have another chance, maybe a break in the action of Friday, more showers next weekend. We are, though, in a minor drought at this time. The good thing about that is that it's now late October, so we're not starting to use as much water. But certainly, we could use some rain, and we're going to get some, it looks like. Also, some gusty winds for a time by Tuesday, especially Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday night into Wednesday.
You know what I wanted to ask you, too, because we were talking a little bit about the hurricane season. It's been like the most active season we've ever had in quite some time. Are we done right now?
No,
are we
no.
good to go, or we have a few more out there?
Remember last week I told you that there's still a chance. Now, the latest storm was called Ophelia. And that actually went out into Scotland and Wales. Can you believe that? But no, there are some of our computer models that are showing something trying to form in the Caribbean in about a week. That would be a storm that would be probably troublesome for those that are down in that area. One of the models takes it into Florida again. Of all places, you don't want Florida to get hit again. Now, this is not etched in stone. Whenever we're talking a week, even 10 days out, these can be off by hundreds of miles, or perhaps they don't even completely form. But some of that moisture that might develop could be what brings us some rain next weekend. So once again, we may benefit from these tropical systems. As I said to you last Saturday, Elaine, the five named storms that have brought us some rain, not directly, but they've been merging with fronts and everything, Harvey, Irma, Jose, Maria, and the latest one. So again, Nate, that was the one. And in fact, the last time we had a rainy day was when we had the remnants of Nate come through on the 9th. So it's been about 12 days since we've had rain of any consequence. So that's why we do. You, again, probably can see some of those shriveled up leaves on the ground. It's not a good foliage season. It's still color out there. But, you can tell that a lot of these leaves fell off weeks ago, and the trees are sort of thinned out a little bit with some color. So it's not a vibrant, a solid color in the trees that we typically have this time of the year. We should be right now getting into the oak tree season, which is that deep maroon colors on the oak trees. We're about 2 weeks late for that to happen. We still have a little bit starting on the oaks, but when you see the trees that don't have any color on them, those are usually the oak trees, and that's what's exactly going on right now.
Wow.
So again, in terms of the tropics, yes, we're not finished yet. Whether the next named storm, that would be Philippe, just keep that name in mind. If you start hearing something about Philippe, it may be forming and causing trouble somewhere off to our south.
Wow, that's interesting. So what are you predicting for our first snowfall?
For a snow squall?
No, our first snow storm.
Our first snowfall? I think it's going to be just about average. As I've said many times, the rule of thumb, 90% of the time, when you have a very early snowfall, it usually means you're not going to have a lot of snow that winter. So you want it as what we call a bell curve. You want the biggest snowy winters we typically start after Thanksgiving, so say the first week or two of December. Then it goes wild within varying degrees over the years through January, and then in February, and then it drops off through the month of March. The seasons that we don't get a lot of snow are sort of bookends that I'd like to talk about, where you get a little bit of snow. You might even get snow around Halloween or even a little bit before Thanksgiving, and people get that like snow and like skiing and things like that get all crazy. Oh, this is going to be a great one. And then you kind of have a dull December, January, a little bit of snow here and there, and then you get that one big one in March. And you look back on it, if you're a snow lover, and you say, this winter wasn't all that great, because when you get snow early and late in the season, usually they'll melt off quick, and you're not going to have it on the ground. So what you want is to ramp up. And, of course, the classic example of that, although it was a bit, it started a little later, was the winter we had about 3 years ago when we had, you know, all that deep, big snow piles all around the area. And that started in December, ramped up through January into the first 2 weeks of February, and then it dropped off again quickly in later March, in mid-March. So to answer your question, I have no idea exactly when. I don't see any chance of snow here. Maybe some, believe it or not, flurries later next week in the mountains of northern New England. But it's still too early to say when. But again, I'll end on this, Elaine. If you don't like a lot of snow in the winter, this has nothing to do with temperature, whether it's going to be a cold winter or not. But if you don't like a lot of snow in the winter, you should root for a snow that falls early, because that means the jet stream pattern is not aligned correctly. You get that situation where it's just a 1 or 2 day bad setup for snow, in other words, snowing around, and then it goes back to kind of not so snowy weather pattern. So if you, and I know you generally don't like snow, right?
Well, I like the first
one. Don't like
one.
Driving it.
Yeah, I like the first. Well, I like to build snowmen. I still do that. You know what I'm saying? It's just that it's the.
I'll throw out a date, because I think this winter is going to be right in between.
Okay.
You've been hearing, but I'll say it's going to, the first snowfall that we get, it probably might only be a dusting or an inch. Maybe say around November 15th.
Oh, okay. All right. I won't hold you to it. I promise I won't hold you to it.
No, that's all right. That's all right. if it's on the 14th or the 16th, then I'll still take credit for it.
All right, that sounds great.
All right, have a good week, and I'll talk to you next Saturday.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, take care. All right, we are going to be up against our last break. Our number here is 508-222-1320 if you're just getting up. Sounds like it's going to be an interesting day, an interesting weekend, and it's going to be warming up later today. Not hitting 80 degrees, but in the 70s, so that's pretty cool. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine LaRoche. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
God, Daddy. Oh, let's fly way up to the clouds.
Lends the newspaper operation in the modern age on a guided tour of the Sun Chronicle newspaper offices and plant. See the press's role in the daily creation of the oldest continuous form of mass communication, since European town criers and news bulletins on parchment nailed to tavern doors in ancient Rome. The tour will take place on Tuesday, October 24th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Sun Chronicle offices and plant on South Main Street in Attleboro. You can register for the event by calling 508-222-0157.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets, and they all have one thing in common. Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard, that's optional. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
If you are experiencing an unplanned pregnancy and are unsure of what to do or where to get help, Abundant Hope Pregnancy Resource Center in Attleboro is here for you. We provide lab-quality pregnancy tests and counseling to help you plan for your future. And to those families struggling to take care of their little ones, we offer diapers, wipes, and baby food. Perhaps you are experiencing pain or grief from an abortion. we have a poster board of healing program to help you resolve those feelings. Our services are always free and confidential. Call us at 508-455-0425.
Hello there, Peterman here, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Nel blu dipinto di blu, e che dici di stare lassù? E volavo, volavo, venice un'alte del sole con coro più su, mentre molto pian piano spariva lontano laggiù.
Okay, guys, we are, we have a caller on the line, and I believe it's Martha from the YMCA.
Hi there.
Hi, thank you so much for calling in. I know that Tom Rafferty had referred me to you. I'm so glad that you had a chance to call us this morning. And I'd like to have you back on again so we can talk about all the good things the YMCA is doing. But you're on for just a few minutes to talk to us about your fall festival and Haunted Hayride, right? The events today that's happening today?
Yes, and what a beautiful day we have today. So
great.
We're pretty excited. It can't be better. So this is our annual Fall Festival and Haunted Woods, and we've got a full day of fun things to do. So we open at 12, and we are at the Norton Outdoor Center, our Camp Finberg, and that's on West Main Street in Norton, Mass. And starting at noon, we have a bunch of bouncy houses. We have carnival games. We have a wonderful ropes course that that all families can have fun with, archery. We have pony rides from 1:30 to 4. We have a load of trucks coming in for Touch a Truck. We have Cryon Landscaping is providing a dump truck full of sand. We have fire trucks. We have police cars. We have a camper. We have a small school bus. Lots of things to touch. We have face painting, pumpkin patch. We've got lots of crafts. We've got photo booth. So lots of good things and fun things to do. And this year, new for us, is we are having food trucks, too. So we have Soulful, Gotta Q, Incredible, Kona Ice, Papagino's. So lots of good things to eat for purchase. And this evening, that's when the spooky magic starts. We have a Halloween Lodge from 4 to 8, and that is the not-so-scary Halloween trail there. We'll have our fire pit. We'll be doing s'mores. We have a game called Gaga that is quite popular with our campers, and we're going to glow that tonight. So we're going to have Glow Gaga and Haunted Woods. So walk if you dare.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So not so scary would be for you, right?
Yeah, not so scary would be for me, yes. Now, Martha, is this an annual event that you're having, or is this the first
Yes,
time?
Our ninth year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We have a lot of great support. Northeastern Savings Bank is one of our big sponsors for that. Certainly Walgreens also gives us a hand, Mansfield Bank. We're just so pleased that we have community partners that join with us for this. So it's great.
Wow, that is really wonderful. How is, now anyone can go, right? I mean,
That's
is there
correct.
Any admission to
yes.
To do this?
So if you're just an individual that wants to come in, it's
$10.
Mm-hmm. If you're a family, it's $25 for the entire family.
Right. Wow.
And you can participate all day from 12 to 8 p.m.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. You know what I'd like to do is keep in touch with me, and I'll give Tom, he has my email address, that I'd like to be able to talk to you further about the programs that you have. I really would love to have you as my guest so we can talk more about the programs at the YMCA and also
Chris
here. And I offer you this opportunity anytime that you have an event at the Y, please be our guest here on our show.
Oh, that's great. We've got a lot of exciting things going on at the Y, so that would be just wonderful.
Wonderful. Well, I'm glad that we connected. So thank you so much for calling in, and I hope you have a spectacular day.
Oh, thank you, Elaine.
You're
wonderful
welcome.
Talking to you.
Same here. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Okay. And I think we have one more call before we go back to Steve. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Donna.
Donna, hi. How are you?
Good. I just want people to know the show this morning from 9 to noon, Stephen the Medium will be on.
Oh.
You can get a free reading from a medium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is very unusual in this life today.
Oh, my gosh, then sure.
Yeah. Then 10 to 10:30, we have Mayor Dumas.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Oh, he's a great interview. I've had him on our show. He is great,
Yeah, he's very, very interesting. Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. So then we have, for the final hour, 11 a.m., and we have some open forum in between all this, but we have some First Amendment right person who has gone to different places. He has people go with cameras to film people going in and out of government buildings. And within moments, the police arrive and tell them that they have to give them personal information because this looks sketchy and everything, and then they talk about the First Amendment, and they've found that many police don't know anything about the First Amendment. Anybody can go and take pictures of anything. So those are the things that we have. I know that you're getting ready to close, but thank you for letting me in.
No, anytime. Like I told you, my friend, anytime that you guys want to come on and talk about promoting what you're having on is so important as we work together. You know, we're all in this together, as they say, right?
We certainly are.
Oh,
and I
great.
Appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Listen, take good care. And I look forward to, you know, talking to you further. And like I said, if you want to call in every week, I don't mind at all, because we're all about promoting each other, you know, and
absolutely.
I think it's important to get out. We have 6 days of live programming here on WARA, so I wanted people to always know that. And at the end of the show, I always mention everybody that's on, hopefully that we keep building our audiences and more calls will come in as we build our brand.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, I wish you a great day. And,
thank you, Julie.
Oh, you're welcome. And you guys have a great show coming up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, folks. Bye,
all right,
bye Mike. Bye, Lane.
All right, bye. Take care. All right, there goes Donna Sprague. Sounds like she's got several hours of Action Pack. They'll be following us from 9 to noon coming up. But I did want to mention a couple of things, and I know that our time is a little bit out, but there are two things that I have to mention, and one is the Saturday at Twin River from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's the it's a Boomers and Senior Expo. It's free admission. They have a ton of different things. You can get a flu shot. There's food, and there's bingo all day, which... Anyway, it's going to be there. But I did want to mention that Jeffrey Osborne will be performing. Also, Robert Black, who will be on our show sometime in late November or December. And also, Sinatra performer Mike Dutcher, a friend of Steve Palumbo, he's going to be here. And Tribeca also. So that's all happening at Twin River today, starting at 10 a.m. And it's free. It is free. There are a lot of different things that are happening out in our community, and I'm sorry that I don't have a lot of time left, because I do want to focus on Steve and asking him more questions. So, and also thank him for getting up so early today.
Oh, please,
to
it was
in.
Worth it. It was worth the trip.
Thank you. So listen, I know we have to wrap up in a couple of minutes, but what are the upcoming shows that you have?
Okay, so every Thursday I perform at Sienna Restaurant in Smithfield.
Oh.
There are three of them. And I'm at the one across from Apple Valley on Route 44. Every Thursday from 6:30 p.m. till 9:30 p.m. I do have an appearance scheduled at Twin River Lighthouse Casino on a Sunday in December. I think it's the 17th. Then I'll be there again in February. And the Rat Pack will be appearing at the Twin River Event Center on November 25th, which is the Sunday after. I'm sorry, it's the Saturday after Thanksgiving. So Saturday, November 25th, the Rat Pack Live with the live orchestra in the Twin River Event Center. We performed here last February in front of 2,500 people.
Wow.
And we hope to break that number again in November. It's going to be a wonderful Christmas, sort of Christmas-style Rat Pack show with the other, you know, usual and maybe not-so-usual Rat Pack repertoire.
I love it.
And a couple of surprises.
Oh, that's great. You'll have to come back on and talk to us more about that.
I would love
to. You said that you wanted to give a shout out to folks that are listening. We really appreciate you listening to our Out and About show today. So go ahead.
Yes, I want to say good morning and thank you for listening to Connie and Gary McNally, my dear friends who come out and hear me and Michael perform quite often. We love you very much and thank you very much for listening, guys.
That's wonderful. Also, the Rat Pack and of course, music. The next thing I wanted to ask, have you thought about putting together a CD or do you have a CD?
I do. I have a CD that I recorded. Actually, I recorded two CDs. The first one's done and the second one I ran out of, and I'm planning to record a Christmas CD within the next couple of weeks.
Great. Well, then now you definitely have to come back so we can play it.
Love to.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank you for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. I'd like to thank Jim Corbin also for calling in, and Mike Catanzaro, who always keeps me on point, and he's telling me I only have another minute. But I do want to thank you to our listeners. And also, too, to remind you that Dominic will be back on Monday from 6 a.m. to 9, followed by Paul Healy from 9 to noon. Our show, Out and About with Elaine, is on each and every Saturday morning from 7 to 8, followed by Dave Kane and Donna Sprague, as you just heard her. And she will be on from, 9 to noon today. So from all of us here on WARA 1320, thanks for listening. And meet me back here next Saturday for another edition of Out and About with Elaine and find out what's happening in our community. Nowhere to hide when I'm getting you close.